Well, we'll go ahead and call to order. Roll call. We've got Chuck here. We've got Michelle. We've got Mr. Kennedy. And we've got myself, Leo. Absent is Natalie and Sadie. And when she does join, we'll put it up there as well. Agenda approval. Can I get an agenda approval for tonight's agenda? May 4th.
So we accept the agenda?
Yeah, yes. There's only the three of us here.
I was going to say, you only got three, so somebody needs to make a motion.
Yeah, so I just said, I need some help here.
I made the motion, Chuck seconded it.
Okay, I'll approve, or I'll call for the vote. It's going to take me another 15 minutes, and I'll get back to that swing of things here. Okay, all approved, or
all in favor?
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, all opposed? Okay, we got it. Okay, public comments. We've got 3 minutes for public comments. I know that there's anybody else out there that wants to talk. You have up to 3 minutes to make your public comments.
I got Randy with a hand up.
I see that.
Hello.
Hey, Randy. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Okay. As you know, from the Redwood Property Owners Association, first of all, we want to thank the CSC for helping us with the garden fair we had this weekend. It turned out really well, especially thanks to Tammy and Sean that really helped us move things around and get things done. But more importantly, the property owner stands for, protecting property values in Redwood, and we do that a lot by supporting culture. And one of the key cultural aspects of Redwood is the Redwood Historical Society. And the property owners has been working with the Historical Society for a while. When John Monroe was here, we were real close to putting a program together where people knew Redwood. We have a joint program where people could come in and introduce themselves and learn about Redwood from the Historical Society perspective. Over the last year, with COVID, it's been really devastating. And then, of course, with John leaving and losing the presidency, it's been hard. But Pam Wright has been working with George Ainsworth, who's the treasurer, to see if we could reboot that. Because it's now time. So we attended a meeting last week, maybe it was a week ago or so, and talked about what we could do to get this thing off the ground. And fortunately, there was a young lady there named Morgan Owen, who is on the call here, and I'll have her introduce herself, who has a really very interesting background and looks like she could be in a position to really help us get this thing off the ground. So, Morgan, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to introduce Morgan. She has a fantastic historical-related background, and then when we get to the agenda item on the Historical Society, she'll do a presentation. But can you take a minute to just let everybody know who you are and what's going on and so on and so forth?
Yes. Hi, I'm Morgan Owen. Some of you actually know some of you. I've been in Redwood since I was 8 years old. And then I left to the UCSC to get my undergraduate in history of art and architecture. And then after that, I went to Scotland to the University of Edinburgh and actually ended up doing my master's in collection security practices. So then when I came back to Redwood, I thought, what a fantastic way to get back to the community that I grew up in. Why don't I start working with the Historical Society and trying to get the museum revamped. So just from an outsider's perspective and now an insider's perspective, but coming into it, I have had a few goals. I would like to set up the museum. I would like to set up a collections management system, which would be cataloging all of the items in the collection, getting information on them, all the vital information that we need to kind of get everything set up. I would like to start a business plan for the museum, see what we can do for fundraising, and grant writing, and then finally I have big aspirations to get the youth in the community to be involved with the Historical Society and the Museum. I know of two Girl Scouts right now who are really interested in doing our Gold Award with us, which is such a huge privilege for the museum. It would be amazing to have these Girl Scouts work with us, and I'm really, really excited and really hope that they will be able to work with us because it would be such a great opportunity for us. So those are just three bullet points that I kind of wanted to touch on and the goals that I had and introduce myself. And I hope I didn't talk too long. And thank you so much for listening to me.
Well, thank you for joining.
Well, that's it. We'll wait until we get to the agenda item. I forget what it is off the top of my head, about being able to open the museum and all that stuff again. That's all I have to say. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks, Morgan.
Anybody else? I'm trying to get Sadie this line. I'm trying to get her unmuted here. There she is.
Sorry, I was in the waiting room. Also, I rendered the right to give you if you want to just be yourself and I can answer questions and stuff. Handle the back end of it.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Leo, I got my hand up. This is Stretch.
Okay, I'm looking for you. Oh, yeah, here you go.
We were supposed to be on the agenda. This is just to ask for a variance to Ragwood cert on meeting in the CSD building for an hour once a month.
Okay.
You are on the agenda as item 10.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'll step back and wait then.
I think that's your cover.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else?
CJ, anything from our supervisor?
I saw CJ there. Here we are.
Yeah, so I don't have too much right now. Just the same stuff as before with the vaccine. A lot of those appointments are being made to the state now at myturn.ca.gov. You can still call the county COVID-19 hotline or go to sccovid19.com/vaccine. I also want to let everyone know the county. There's a county pandemic rental relief assistance program going on right now. I sent the information to Lori last month, and you guys want to send that again before you know. That stuff is at sccrentrelief.com, or you can dial 211-75. So that's just based on income level. You get Lori's information, I think, for last month. Send that again, let me know. And also, if you guys are reading from our office, the best way to get a hold of me is email. So now that there's a paper trail, I have something to refer to.
All right, thank you, CJ.
Thank you. Any more public comments? Okay, let's go off to the agency reports. I know the sergeant is a board here. Thank you, CJ. Okay, Sergeant, what numbers do you have this month for us?
So, April is actually a pretty mellow month up here. We only had 71 calls for service, which is about at least 30 below average.
Wow.
And we had, we took three reports. So, one for the miscellaneous incident, one for a burglary, and one for a forged check. So, the numbers are looking good. It was, like I said, a pretty slow pace this past month. Hopefully it'll stay like that, but I'm sure it'll start getting busier. As the weather's getting nicer and we have more people coming up to visit.
Great. Any questions out there? Thank you. Is the San Diego County Fire or California Highway Patrol on? Nope. Okay. We'll go ahead and go off to the. Thank you again, Curtis.
You're very welcome.
Let's go to the consent calendar. Go ahead and do this. Okay, consent calendar.
I didn't see anything missing on the meeting. Or the minutes, I mean.
No, they looked okay to me.
Okay, so do I have a motion?
Motion to approve that. I'm going to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries.
How about the board minute meetings? The regular board meetings on April 6th. Have you looked at them?
That's what I was just talking about.
Okay. General manager's report.
Okay, I just have to say a happy Star Wars Day, everybody. May the Force be with you. As of May 10th, the community building will be back to regular hours, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. This will be to accommodate the extra work for additional rentals happening now, as well as the spring weather parks maintenance.
What's the date you're doing that on?
It's the 10th, Monday.
That's great.
Both Los Angeles and San Bernardino counties have been contacted regarding the property tax assessment. Both counties are getting ready to start the process, and we are looking to start submitting documentation in early to mid-May. I just got an email from LA County just today, so we should be starting that process within the next week. The hazardous waste event previously announced for June 12th was announced prematurely and is still being researched, permitted, and arranged. As soon as I have more details, I will post to our website and Facebook pages. SCE has been contacted and should be in the process of switching out our streetlights to LED bulbs. This will save us about $17 per month on our bill. The stove and refrigerator have been delivered and installed. We're waiting for the suppression system to be connected and recharged. As soon as that happens, our kitchen will be fully functional again, and we will be able to start doing rentals. I will be on vacation for a week this month, but will be reachable by phone. The CSD staff will be available during community building hours should anything arise.
I have a question on this Southern California Edison. It's $17 per month. Is that, do we get a monthly bill for all 17 of the
streetlights? Yeah.
Streetlights? Okay.
Yeah.
I was hoping that would be $17 per month per lifetime.
You would think, but no.
Okay. I'm just...
Lori, what is each light cost us on average per month?
Hold on. Let me get my handy dandy little calculator.
It sounds like we're saving about $1 per light, so...
Yeah.
It's about $13.50 per light per month.
Okay.
And, Lori, what are the dates of your vacation?
I prefer to keep that private.
Okay.
I would say, if you want to discuss it during the closed session, that's fine with me, but I really don't want to announce it.
Okay.
That's fair.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. April 2021 financials. I looked at this and this looked pretty, April's been pretty quiet.
April's a really good month for us usually because of the inflow of the tax.
The revenues, I saw that $110,000 came in or something like that.
Yeah. $153,000 actually is what all came in.
Okay. Combined.
Yeah.
Lori, where is the deposit for the $1,000 for Rawlings McDowell Consulting? I know we did.
It's in donations, account 4500. I offset it against the donation that we received for it, so it's only showing a $9,000 income instead of $10,000.
Okay, 4500 you said?
Yep.
Okay. And I noticed the park hours, is that making up for the previous employees? Because you got 199.25 hours for park. Is that true? Or is that making up for John?
That goes back to January. Is that what you're looking at?
January 21st.
That was it was an adjustment to the maintenance person's hours that they misreported on their timesheet.
Okay, so that was John. Okay.
Yeah, that was.
All right, that's all I got, Leon.
Okay. Okay, well, go ahead and go on to the line stuff rental and variance. We don't need a motion or anything on that, Steve, do we?
I don't think so.
On the budget?
We usually don't do a motion.
No, it's fine. We don't need it. Thank you. Land sub rentals, Lori, or is it, I know Vicky's on.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have two variances requests from the Lions Club. One is for their regular meetings, and the other is for their bingo. They are requesting the 10% discount for the increase in the rental fee.
Okay.
And that would bring them back down to the $13.50, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to get unmute Vicky, so I'm being challenged here.
She's not muted.
Sure.
Everybody, hi.
Hello.
Hey, baby. Yeah, we appreciate a little discount. Anything would help. So, hope you can consider that. Since we're going to use it every month, we're going to do bingo every month. And the first bingo is this Thursday night.
Bingo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does the board have any thoughts or recommendations on the variance for the Thursday, May 15th to the November 20th, Lions Club requesting 10% discounts in a monthly meeting?
I think that's reasonable and fine. Maybe a lot for the community. 10% isn't a lot.
Chuck?
I don't have any problem with it. I mean, they're going back to what we've been charging from day one.
Yeah.
So at least we're at that level. That'll help. Because we haven't had any revenue coming in there, so
yeah,
I appreciate them willing to pay a little bit on that, so I have no problem with it.
Okay. Sadie? Or Michelle? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I supported it last, I mean, I would have supported it last month when we said that about, you know, any long-standing club like this that's contributing to the community and that kind of thing.
Okay. So, can I get a motion for a request for facility rate variance for the Lions Club? For the dates of the third Thursday, May 15th to November 20th. And we need to change this to 21, the year on your.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Vicky, you did that for somebody. So, can I have a motion?
So moved.
All in favor?
No, we need a second.
Second. Oh, there we go. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Great. Now let's go to the request for facility rate variance for the third Saturday, May 16th through November 20th, 21 for the...
Oh,
this is for the monthly... Bingo, right?
Oh, yeah, we changed that. I submitted the new calendar because we decided to do it on a Thursday, Thursday.
So this the paperwork that was submitted here that's in our packet, it says Saturday.
Yeah. The CSC got a new updated one, Tammy.
We did not get a new variance, but we did get an updated rental request.
So we need to make sure we get this changed out and renewed, right?
Okay, I'll do that. So for next month, it's fine.
Okay.
So for the bingo, when are they meeting now?
On Thursday.
All Thursdays, or?
No, we're just going to do one Thursday, the first Thursday. It's the first Thursday
of every month. You want to reserve it for bingo.
Yeah, we're going to reserve it for the bingo. Except for one month, I guess, the Museum of Crime has it. But we work out the schedule with Tammy.
Okay. Okay. What's the board, Chuck, what are your thoughts about the bingo?
I'm fine. That's, you know, the bingo is a lot for the senior citizens. You know, there's not much we do for them, so I have no problem giving the 10%.
Quite frankly, I thought that the last motion was including both of those, so I support
it. Well, there's two requests out here, Michelle.
Yeah, sorry. I thought we were lumping them all together with that.
Okay, so I'll just go ahead and put a motion out there. Request for facility rate variance for the third Thursday of the month from May 15th to November 20th, 2021 for bingo.
10% discount, right?
Yes, a 10% discount.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed. Thank you. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Music in the Pines rental variant.
I'm sure there's some, okay. There was some background noise, and I think we've got that taken care of.
Okay.
Okay, Music in the Pines rental.
Yeah, Music in the Pines has requested a complete variance for their four days.
Where is that being done? Is that the parking lot scenario or what? And where is their stage? Where is all that stuff? Is it what it was a couple of years ago or what?
I am unfamiliar with it, so I don't know.
Yeah, the stage is going to be put, Claudia would have come if we were in person tonight, but didn't apparently make it onto the call. But as far as I know, the plan is for the exact same thing as was done the last time we held it. There'll be a portable stage brought in and constructed at the north side of the parking lot. And then the audience will be in the parking lot itself.
They'll bring their own, the audience will bring their own chairs or whatever.
You got it.
Okay. And the only expense that we are waiving is the parking lot fee, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, this is a history type of thing. You know, we've been doing Music in the Pines for a long time. I know Eric had put it on his, I don't know if it's his property, but somebody's property that they knew about, and we used to have it there. I know we've done the one in our parking lot since they moved it. They pay for the, you know, everything else. All they're asking for is the parking lot. I'm okay with this one, too.
You know what? And I think this is a great summer event. I think it would be great for the community to get out and listen to some great music. And I know Dan Campbell has done a lot of work. He's coming back and helped facilitate it and help push it along. And him and I had a long conversation in my office a week or so ago. And I'm all for doing something to have a little bit of Music in the Pines on the 24th, the 8th, the 22nd of July, and August 5th. Those four days would be great.
Okay. Well, you're not playing, are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Well, it depends on what I'm going to vote if you're playing.
I'm making donations, Chuck.
Oh, right.
Mr. Kennedy's playing, we're all going to be playing.
Only if we can charge it.
Okay, so it sounds like, Chuck, can you put a motion out there for us?
I'd like to put a motion that we waive the fee for Music in the Pines on 6/24, 7/8, 7/22, and August 5th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed.
By the way, Sadie, you're muted.
I saw your mouth there.
Okay, this is where Stretch comes into play. Mr.
Leo, can I make a request real quickly?
Sure.
Lori, when we have these variance requests come through and the amount to be considered is that they want full
like what music and applying for is now. Can we have something written in there so that that's clear from the variance?
Oh, you want the total that we would be waiving?
Or just like the Lions Club asked for a 10% discount, it's easy to like, you know, get back to, it could say 100% discount. It could say fully club. If you want to start listing everybody's amounts that they would be saving, then that's fine too. Just something in there.
Okay. No problem.
Okay, Stretch, where you at?
Up there.
Oh, there you go. Okay, there's a request for a facility rate variance for
stairs.
And Stan's on the call too. Well, Mr. Franklin's on the call here.
The dates, Stretch or Stan, could you give them the dates, whether it be the fourth Thursday or what?
Well, and what are we looking for? It's not on here either. To Michelle's point, we need to make sure all that information is on this thing.
Okay, look. So my understanding is that they are looking for the rental to be completely comped.
And what are the dates? Or that's not on here either.
We would meet on the fourth Thursday of each month, and because of the conflict with Music and the Pines in June and July, we would not be using it. We're going to do an exercise in a different area, and also November and December, we would not do it because November falls on Thanksgiving, and December, of course, is the Christmas holidays.
So, Stretch, where are you guys having this meeting? Is it the firehouse?
No, this is our full group at the community building.
But there's a conflict, right? Because you've got
it's
the Lions Club on the third Thursday?
Yeah, well, that was my understanding. That's what she just asked for.
Okay.
I guess so. You were wearing the fourth Thursday?
Yes, for start the fourth Thursday.
Okay.
And again, because of the conflict in June and July, we will not try to have a meeting with Music in the Pines going on, so we wouldn't need it then in November, December also because of the holidays.
Okay.
And actually, if they have the Frightwood race this year, we would not have it in October because we work traffic management for the Frightwood race as our monthly meeting. That's one of our exercises.
Okay, all right. So, can I get a motion, or what's the board's thoughts here? I'm good for the search I have. This, I know they do a lot of emergency response awareness, and I think that's a great program for our little community here.
I definitely support this. Yeah, they're volunteers, and yeah. We have a high-risk emergency.
Yeah, do you think?
It's all that. The homeowner's insurance salary.
Yeah.
And if they get any donations, if you look at the cargo bin across the street from the Grizzly, it's full of earthquake supplies, medical supplies, all those types of things, and it's all for the community. They don't get any money themselves. And they turn around, besides their time and effort, they turn around and buy things that help with the support of the community in case of a disaster. I'm obviously totally for this give them the variance.
Yeah, if I can, in the future, just so that there isn't the appearance of impropriety or conflict, a director should not be also representing an entity that is seeking the variance.
I agree, Steve, and I know Stretch had called the office and asked for my name to be taken off, and for whatever reason, it didn't make the pack.
Okay,
so, I agree with your point.
Thank you for pointing that out, Steve.
Well, if the University of the Exertion would make a motion.
Yeah, well, that's super valuable to our community, so I absolutely support us helping in any way.
Awesome.
Okay, well, I move that we accept the request for 100% discount for the third monthly meetings on the fourth Thursday of every month, not including June, July, and potentially October.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Firehouse Museum building opening. Discussions and possible actions.
Okay. Vice President Franklin asked that the possible opening of the Firehouse Museum be put on the agenda. Since neither part of the building has an official occupancy sign, I measured and calculated occupancy based upon those measurements. The front part of the building has an occupancy of 11 total, and the back part has a total of 17. Since we are still in the orange tier, it was when I wrote this anyway, for San Bernardino County, we're limited to 25% of capacity. I'm using entertainment centers as a base. This limits the front part of the building to 2.75 people and the back to 4.25. I believe this to be too small an occupancy to open the building at this time.
So, if we go to yellow next week, you'll be able to open this up, right?
What 100% occupancy for yellow here, Lori?
Honestly, off the top of my head, I believe it's 35, but even at 35%, you're not talking a whole lot.
What's our normal, I guess it's never really occurred to me that there's very many people in there at once.
It's less than four people if we go up to 35% in the front part of the building, which is actually the museum part. The concern I have is the back part of the building where people rent out for meetings, like AA, the Historical Society actually has meetings there, that type of thing. Those rooms are too small at this point to rent them out. I have offered anybody coming into the building asking about renting it, I have offered them the community building, saying that that is open, that is available to them, but I'm not comfortable opening the Firehouse Museum until we can at least go 50%, if not more.
What if we just open the museum part and don't do the meeting?
Okay, if you open the museum part, you're still limited to four people, and that includes any people working there, like, you know, docents or anything like that, so.
Okay, is this the board item or agenda item that Morgan was going to speak about?
The key is Morgan's got some plans to get things going, but what she's really constrained is we don't know the numbers. But I think she's even got a plan now where for just the museum, you know, to keep no more than, it sounds like, three people in the front is possible. But rather than me guess, Morgan, take the lead.
Thank you. Yes. So I do have a few points on the museum opening occupancy rate. First of all, as far as restricting the number of people, I understand that we're keeping everything really low, and I'm 100% committed to being COVID safe, and we absolutely do not want to exceed those numbers. What I do want to say here is that having the ability to open the museum, for me, for my side of the operations of the museum, less means opening it up to, you know, huge crowds of the public, and more to giving people access who want to do projects with the museum, getting these girls who want to do their gold awards into the museum to show them the space, to kind of get a feel for it, getting them maybe started on their project. It's more about opening up the museum so that we can start operations and get things running, and less about opening it up to, you know, large amounts of people. If somebody comes by while we are open, maybe one day a week or while one of us is there doing something at the museum, if people do come by, you know, someone who's there that is working with the Historical Society as a docent or me or somebody working there, we'll be in control of how many people enter the building, and, you know, we'll be able to say, okay, there's already three people in this front room, we're having occupancy, you're either going to have to just wait until they move into another room, or until they leave, you know, all of these things, you know, and we can control the flow in and out of the museum. For us, it's and for me, it's more about just giving us access to the museum so that we can get things up and running.
Morgan, do you need the meeting room as a part of that?
So the meeting room is actually something that I would like to discuss about. I have a few questions about the meeting room. I know that we hold the meetings there generally. You know, maybe we can move that to, you know, our general meetings to a space that has a higher occupancy. I know that as of right now, the occupancy would permit us to hold our general meetings, which is sort of a catch-22 issue. You know, we need to have the meetings to get things going and all of that. So maybe we could discuss having our meetings at the community center or something like that, just so we have higher occupancy rates. And I also just wanted to discuss the renting out the meeting space. As a newcomer, I'm not exactly sure how that works and who controls that. So just a question on that point. I want to know, as far as renting out that meeting space to other organizations, is it the CSD that's renting that out and that gets the funds from that, or are those funds given to the museum for our operations?
No, the CSD is actually in charge of renting out the meeting room in the back, and the funds go to the CSD.
Okay, so that is set, and this could probably be a further discussion in the future. Is that a set? One of the plans that I have for the museum is opening up a schedule of temporary exhibitions, and I would love to renovate that space into a dedicated exhibition area. That doesn't mean that meetings can't be held there for organizations in the future, but I would really love to move the museum into a more dedicated museum exhibition area and organization. And so that's just something I would like to discuss in the future. I know that when we had our last meeting, we had sort of discussed that, and there has been hesitancy of, you know, we don't really know the rules around our ability to do that as a historical society, with you guys being in, you know, control of the building.
Okay, I believe the museum was only open on Saturdays also, is that correct?
Yeah.
That's correct. It is only open on Saturdays. You know, I think that once we get, my vision is to get a really established plan for the museum and sort of get it back on its feet and running sort of like a real museum institution. That's not to say it's not a real museum institution now, but I would love to see it have the organizational structure of something that's a bit more functional. And so once we do that, once we do that, I would love to revisit maybe opening the museum, obviously after COVID, because, you know, this is discussing the occupancy rates right now, but I would love to be able to open the museum maybe in the afternoons with more volunteers, having it open for, you know, maybe a few hours, 4 days or 3 days a week, instead of just open for 8 hours on Sunday or Saturday.
Okay, Leo, the reason I put this on the, yes, Lori, to put it on the agenda was basically to allow the board to talk about it. I know that I was told we had a lady that wanted to jump in and do some things, that she had a background, and it's always nice when we hear somebody wants to volunteer, no matter what area it is. And I think it's important that we gave her a voice in the whole bit, depending on what the governor does, what tier we're in, how many people that we can have. Yeah, I believe that we should follow that. But I also believe that if we went out and counted the amount of people that are in other places, that I'm not sure it would hit the 25% level. But based on, you know, what Morgan is saying, I think it's exciting that she could let it grow. For right now, it doesn't seem, I didn't ask for a thing to come through and make a decision on it today. I think it just to be discussed, to let her say what she wanted to say, and give us an idea of where we wanted to take the potential. That was really
Sandy, I want to just jumpstart a little bit. Morgan's new, and she has, after listening to her, a ton of baseline and documentation work to get going. So to get her access now, if it's just even her, so she can go in and start cataloging. I mean, we're talking about raising this up to a really state-of-the-art type of a museum. But she just needs the time to meet with Lori and Tammy and the CSD. She needs to be able to get in. She's got to learn how all the exhibits work and what the whole thing is. So one of the action items I'd like to see is at least to let her start right now, even if nobody else comes in.
Yes, and that's sort of the point that I was making, is that from my side of things, being open and just, you know, allowing people into the building, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be open to the public. Allowing people into the building on limited capacity of even just me and a few people getting in there to work on the museum, I think that, you know, I would love to see people come in and see the museum, but on the other hand, if we can't have it open, I would love to be able to get in there with myself, a few other people, a few small, you know, sort of get-togethers and work on the museum and use COVID as an opportunity, as a catalyst to revamp the exhibition space, to get the collection on its feet, to do basic things like, you know, it's digitizing and scanning all of the documents. You know, it's really about our ability to physically be in the building and get work done, and less about, you know, having masses come in to see exhibitions and masses come in to see the museum.
So this is what my thought is. My thought is why can't you work with Lori, having you or another person go in there now to start doing some of that stuff? I don't see that being a problem at all. What about the rest of the board?
I don't see any conflict, period. When I first read it, maybe just how Lori was thinking of it initially, I'm not sure, but it was like, you know, opening it to the public, et cetera. But with everything Morgan said, Morgan getting in there and the Girl Scouts, Morgan is the bold project, kind of like the Eagle Scout thing.
It's actually, I'll give you a brief description. It's actually much more involved than an Eagle Scout award. So, you know, an example of a Gold Award idea working with the museum would be one of the girls, you know, doing something for the museum, either helping me catalog or renovating the space into an exhibition space, and then curating a Girl Scout memorabilia exhibition. They need to do something that has an impact in the community, is sustainable, and is measurable. So it has to be measurable in, you know, number of people coming into the exhibition, things like that. You know, it's a really big, huge project that is very involved, and it takes something like, they have to have 100 man hours of dedication to the project, and, you know, maybe when I have had discussions with another Girl Scout who maybe wants to put on some programming with the museum, maybe doing events, you know, small events. So obviously when we try a lot to have larger numbers, doing events with painting and mental health and, you know, trying to get the museum into an artistic sphere as well as a historical sphere. And so those are the sort of projects that I was thinking about, and, you know, helping kind of brainstorm with the Girl Scouts. You know, they're getting ready to start doing the Gold Awards. So I offered the museum to them as a community partner, as a space where they could use these Gold Awards, and, you know, they're very excited about it. So that's sort of the idea behind the Gold Awards.
All right, that's neat, and I think, Lori, it sounds to me like anytime they would be in the building, and thus it would be essentially open to the public, they'd be manning it, and so they could control how many people, and as Morgan said, they would be accountable for that. So it sounds, to me that sounds good. Morgan, for your information, the idea about what your ideas about the meeting room, et cetera, that has to be specifically agendized in the future for us to discuss.
Okay.
But, yeah, when you get ready for that, speak to Lori about getting that on the agenda so we can ask
great. Yeah.
We're in the building, and as long as we're right now abiding by Lori's calculations, and then I'm assuming we're going to yell at you every 4 lines because the numbers are good, and then that can be adjusted up until our next meeting, unless, you know, it's on the agenda for some other special consideration.
Yes, yeah, based upon what Morgan's presenting, I'm fine with them opening up that building.
Yeah, okay.
So what I'd like to have happen is when we listened to Lori and Morgan's presentation, it was outstanding. I mean, based on her background, where she studied in Cambridge and what she's done in the past, I mean, we're talking about making Wrightwood essentially a first-class historical society in terms of, you know, how things are documented and archived, and you'll be able to find things online. She studied all that stuff and has done that in other places. So if we could just get a lawyer to say, okay, fine, let's get working in.
Drop that tonight.
Thank you, good day.
I think if you could work with the Lori, that would be awesome.
Right. Yes. Yeah. To me, it doesn't seem like there's anything to officially vote on because Lori, you're within your jurisdiction of opening according to COVID, you know, numbers. Okay.
Yeah. I just had, just another quick question. I know that we were talking specifically about opening the museum and things like that. And maybe this is an agenda item that I would just talk with Lori on seeing it on later. But I also know that, you know, the Historical Society has kind of fallen to the wayside in the community. And so I also just wanted to know if you guys had any questions for me that maybe I can answer. And, you know, I think that that's maybe now is not the time since Jerry just decided on the opening, things like that. But maybe that's something we could do in the future.
Yes, so let's work with Lori, like what Michelle was saying, work with Lori. We could agendize some things specifically so we could stay on that topic.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm excited for the enthusiasm you're bringing, Morgan. It's good to have you back in town and see what you contributed a lot before you left, and we'll contribute more now, it sounds like.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you. Okay, next topic, request a trump card. Lori.
Okay, the subject was tabled from the September 1st, 2020 meeting. Currently, we do not charge for replacement dump cards. The cost to replace a dump card is currently $6, and San Bernardino County charges $11 to replace a dump card. I am suggesting that we charge at least $5 for replacement costs. That would at least cover some of our costs and allow us not, you know, it makes people think twice before just calling us up and saying, I can't find my dump card. But yet it's less than a load, so.
I'm in favor of this.
I'm in favor of charging $6 if that's what it costs to replace it. I don't think you can make money off of it, but I think that cost should be legitimately passed on to the person who needs the replacement.
How many replacement cards do we have to issue?
The majority of the cards that we are issuing right now are all replacements. I want to say we're doing about an average of 5 to 6 a week.
Or people were already given one and lost it or
Signed
it or whatever.
Yes.
I think the $5 charge, it'll be simpler in the office because you don't have to deal with all the $1 bills.
That's why I went with the $5, is because it would be easy to send them over to the mini mart to get change, but the $6 was going to be problematic.
That's a very practical point. I take it back.
Speaking of from retail, Friday. So do I get a? I'm good with this, Sadie.
I'm good.
Okay, so can we get a motion? We have a motion.
Sure, I move we charge $5 for replacement dump cards.
All right, second it, I guess. All in favor? I got a good supporting cast here. All in favor.
All right.
All opposed? Okay, motion passes and carries. Motion carries. Okay, fiscal 21-22 budget. Chuck and I spent a couple of hours reviewing the proposed budget from Lori. Chuck and I made some minor changes to the one that was presented to us. We made some adjustments, like the porta potty situation, make sure there's enough of that. We did some reductions on some conservative estimates on some of the rentals, but Lori, I'll let you carry on from here as well.
So basically, the budget was looked at over the past 3 years as to what we've done pre-COVID and what we've done during COVID, and we did some very conservative estimates for the budget because we're not sure exactly how quickly and how fast things are coming back. So the proposed budget column on the far right-hand side is what we came up with as being proposed for the budget. The bottom line on the budget is we have a $31,000 profit. But, and that it also includes a contingency of 10% for excess expenses. It also includes increases for the staff. And that's about it that I can think of off the top of my head.
And based upon my notes too, Lori, I think that was, and again, just so everybody knows, the three of us, Chuck and I and Lori, we went line by line on each one of these, the budget. And I feel very comfortable. Again, all depends upon how much revenues we get in, and obviously we do have some tendency in at the very end, 10% for total expenses. We have that. So if things go according to what we think, and again, to Lori's point, it's very conservative. I think we'll do quite well for fiscal July 1st this year to June next year.
Never mind, I just found the
porta potty.
I'm trying to find the line
item.
What would you increase or what did you account for next year?
I don't know on top of my head, but it was very similar to what we had this past winter.
Yeah, I would say our past winter we did just under 6,100. We bumped it up to 7,500.
Was that the thought that we would have them for a longer period, or we would be adding another porta potty or two?
Both. We just kind of have to see where the winter season takes us.
I think if you started like early November, December, January, February.
Right.
So if it doesn't snow, then we have some extra money there, but we'll see what happens. So has anybody else have any questions? Board members in regards to our budget that we went through.
No, thanks for your work on that.
Okay.
So, can I get a motion to pass the budget for fiscal?
Wait.
Who's that?
Chuck.
Oh, he just froze.
That's all. Huh? Lori, we had talked about 5100 GM, the estimate for this coming fiscal year, which is 38. You were going to look back and said there was probably some type of mistake on that.
Yeah, it was a calculation error. We're still online with the 3765.
Okay, and the LASCO. Did we ever get a breakdown from them of why initially we were at the 380 and all of a sudden we're at 1,000 now? And we were a little over 1,000. The LASCO, I don't know what you call it.
The LASCO apportionment?
I'm sorry?
The LASCO apportionment?
Yes.
We don't get a breakdown from LASCO. They do an apportionment as part of their budget every year. In fact, they've got a board meeting sometime this month to go over the apportionment for next month. It appears it's approximately the same amount as what we've paid previously, but I have no idea what they use that money for.
Right, they got expenses too. All I'm asking for is how do they come up with their apportionment.
I will send you the spreadsheet that they sent me, but it's a calculation based upon
who is the new director for LASCO, do you know?
No.
Okay. This should be probably. So I guess you're asking me to call them and find out?
I don't understand what your question is. I was trying
why
to.
Why did it go $600 from the? Or,
because their expenses increase. They do just the same thing that we do. They've got a budget, and based upon how much revenue each special district under them gets is how they apportion out their expenses, and that's our cost.
And I'd like to know, since our revenue and expenses has basically been at the 30,000 level, how did we go up $600? That's all I'm asking. And, you know, Boots for Blasco will talk to and say, how can you raise us when you got other districts that are going up, you know, half a million to a million? And we stayed basically in the same level. I don't think it's a rash thing to ask.
I guess I just don't understand your question, Chuck.
Why are they charging us as much as they're charging us, is the question.
So in July 18...
I know. The second year, they bailed us good, too. I didn't catch it, and nobody else did.
So
why it went up so high is all
I... Chuck, I will be more than happy to scan the notice of the meeting and the information on the apportionment so that you could attend the meeting and ask your question if that would work, if that would answer your question.
That's fine, Lori. Move on, Leo.
Right.
Do the preliminary finger.
It requires a public hearing to approve, so we'll notice that the public hearing and will be on the agenda in June for adoption.
Okay.
We just have to just push forward on this. We don't have to do an approval or nothing. Public hearing first.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, Lori, you could follow back up with Chuck and his question.
Yeah, I'll give him that information tomorrow morning.
Okay. Great job on that. Parking lights. Question.
Okay, the bank and the Wrightwood Business Center buildings have added LED lighting to illuminate the parking lot to avoid having issues after dark. There's one area by the community building that is still a little dark at night, and would like the board to approve adding one more LED light. I would also like the fluorescent light fixture above the building sign to be removed, as it really does not provide any benefit to our lighting situation. I have a proposal for $710 from Davison Electric to do that work. I have not been able to get another proposal at this time. I'd like the board to approve the proposal from Davison Electric.
And is that the next page here?
Yes.
Side lights on building.
Yes, that's the...
But Lori, we should always get at least two estimates.
I understand, and I have not been able to get a second one. I am still working on it.
Okay, so then we'll just wait till the next board meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Per capita grant standing meeting.
No.
Great. Number 15.
That's not in me, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now he's not here. We're like chomping at the bit to get things moving forward, and our last estimate came in above, significantly above what we have available to spend. And, you know, obviously we don't want to wait around to see if these other grants come in at a later date, Lori, or the ones that you've applied for. We need to keep this moving forward. So we counted back with some suggestions. You know, we took one. We replaced, you know, took out a smaller piece of equipment, replaced a pretty expensive piece of equipment with a smaller one that's cheaper, and then we're looking at some other options for some of the labor that's involved and such, and we've been waiting on an estimate for 3 weeks, and both of us have tried to get answers in the past 10 days, and just they don't. Just the process of getting estimates through these companies, it goes through like 3 different departments in the company, and so we're still waiting on it, and boy, we sure hope to next month, as we've been saying for a while. So thank you. Going forward, you know, it's encouraging. It's all good. We're just, it's just so not like anything I've ever encountered where you can adjust something and then get quick action back. You've got to go through the whole process to finish it. So.
Yeah.
I'll do it next month.
And sorry, Lori, that's why we were very hopeful we were going to get some information.
That's why I left you on.
Thank you.
Number 16, thank you, Michelle. Reserved for capital improvements.
Okay. This item was carried over from the April 6th meeting. And I've attached a spreadsheet showing anticipated income through the end of November. This is due to the way our money comes in from taxes and getting a large deposit from the counties in the beginning of December. This will give an idea as to the amount of cash we may have to cover expenses before our next large deposit. I know the board wanted to see these numbers before they made any decisions on whether or not to create a capital improvement project account and fund it.
Okay. Can you walk us through this spreadsheet?
Okay. It's very similar to the budget spreadsheet in that I took the expenses that we have had so far since July 1st through the end of April. I bumped it out through the end of November, just basically using a straight calculation on most of them. It's 10 months here, and then we need to go 5 more months, so times 12. So that's what's in the total column. The only thing that is not included in calculations like that are our big property tax, solid waste franchise fee, and solid waste fees. Those are actually based upon actuals from last year, so that they're conservative, but they should be pretty close to what we're going to end up getting. On here we have the election costs that we just incurred from both San Bernardino and Los Angeles County.
That's the $17,000, right? $8,000 and $9,000.
Yeah, in addition, it's the $10,000. There's also the $10,000 for the election from 2017 is included in here, just because I know the board likes to see actual cash going out, even though it has different financial statement implications. I did not include any increases in the salaries of any of the staff at this point. And basically, I used what should be our correct audit fees, which we will have to pay before the end of this period. And that's basically it.
So I have a question for Steve. Steve, on this piece of the reserve for capital improvements, does this typically go as a percentage, or how do the other CSD boards do, or is it as an example?
It's really a discretionary call on the board's part as to how you want to, if you want to create it, and if so, how you want to fund it. It could be done in any of those fashions. So it's really up to the board to decide, and the board has more knowledge about its financial situation, it controls the budget, has full control over all fiscal issues regarding the district. So it's really up to the board to decide. Your discretion is unfair here.
Okay. So what is your recommendation, Lori?
I would recommend actually creating the account and funding it about $10,000. But the question being then is how we decide to use the funds going forward.
Okay. But that would be capital improvement to be like, we would, so just let me give this example. If we had $10,000 in there, and if we needed to do so, we would take it out of that capital improvement budget and pop it into that so.
Correct.
So this would be more of a rainy day. So if we build this stuff, and if we say 10% of whatever that number is, like $31,000 or 20%, we just put that in that little nest egg and let that sit. And then next year, you come up with an idea and says, hey, we need to do this. We look at the capital improvement
line item and see how much money we have out there, but at least it won't affect the rest of the budget.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, that's what I thought you were looking at, but I wasn't sure, and I wanted to be sure before we went forward. But, yeah, my recommendation would be to go ahead and create the account and fund it at about $5,000 to $10,000 for right now.
Okay. Any recommendations from the – I've got a number in my head, and I want to see what any other board members – If we even want to do this, I think it's a great idea.
What number is right here, Leo?
20% of whatever that number is. So next year is going to be different, but this is going to be like $6,200.
I was going to say closer to $5,000, just more conservatively as we bounce back with our budget after COVID. So I'm going to $6,000.
So if we say, yeah. So Chuck, what are your thoughts?
Well, we still have the reserve for operations, which is only at $5,000, and we have the reserve for replacements at $22,000, and those are items that need 4/5 vote out of the board members in order to take that money away.
Okay.
I would rather see what we're at in as far as funding those. We funded the $5,000 for operations, and I believe the last one we started was like $14,000, and we had like $8,500 that we put into that reserve account the last fiscal year. Was it last year or the year before, Lori?
Last year.
The $8,500?
Yeah, we usually discuss it in July or August after the end of the fiscal year.
So anyway, we've got those two things that need to be funded. We have $150,000 in the savings account that if we came into a major issue, we could, pull from there if we had a capital expense that we needed to get in that affected the operation, and then hopefully be able to replenish that later on. But I don't want us to forget the reserves, because that's for disasters. And that's something that's going to take a while to build up,
right,
based on where we are as far as our net income each year. So just so the board knows, the financial, where there's, what do we call it, Leo? Contingency, thank you. Get old. The contingency fund is basically figured out as 10% of what our expenses are for that year. And what that means is if we, screwed up on our estimates as far as different line items, and they were more, so to speak, the contingency fund goes towards that, so it still stays in the budget. But how did we get to where are we, 200 or 300,000 in areas when we only started with 14,000?
Right.
Because we actually did halfway decent on the budget as far as estimating, and we didn't use all the contingency plans, so when you take the net profit and the contingency plan, if it's not used, we're anywhere from 70 into 110,000 that we could use. So I see it being able to keep building those things up, but at this moment in time, I'd rather work on the reserves as opposed to capital, because if it's something that we really need for capital, we should be able to figure that out unless we're in the 100,000s, and if we are, we don't have the money anyway.
Right.
So, it doesn't hurt to have, a nice account on that, but we haven't really used, other than an emergency, $150,000, and Lori replaced that fairly quickly after we used it. Because we were down to, $400 in the checking account at once?
Right.
So anyway, but that's a board decision. That's just my conservative nature to try to hold on and build it up.
Leo, what are your thoughts after hearing what Chuck had to say?
I still would like to do the 20% to have a nest egg out there and for these cattle too. I'm just thinking of like we did with this refrigerator and stuff, and there might be something, another appliance or something else that we got to do something bigger, or even that we don't have to really worry about it in the budget per se because it's in the reserve. And if Roy comes up and says, hey, we need to get, you know, a third of this parking lot done because over by the bank, it's got a lot of riveted areas on the parking lot. We don't have to really affect the budget. We already have it sitting there in the reserves, and we could use that. That's my thought.
And Chuck, are you hearing that loss from it? I hear that you're not seeing a real gain, but because we can access the money other ways, but is there a negative?
I don't think there's a negative. I'm always fine on putting stuff aside in case for emergencies, that type of thing. I just want us to be able to fund the emergency, which is what our reserves are, as opposed to cancel. I'd like to know how much we've spent since 2017 on capital improvements. You know, my supposition is we've got a hell of a lot as far as upgrading the facilities, you know, those type of things. But I have no clue how much we've actually put in to the capital side other than the stove and refrigerator lately. But we did a roof, we did stairs, we did painting, we did a lot of that stuff. Does anybody know what the total amount is we've spent on capital?
I
have a spreadsheet. I have the capital improvement spreadsheet that I present to the board every year, and it is updated with the things that we have done and the cost that we have spent. I can send you a copy. I can send the board a copy.
Do you know off the top of your head what it's been since the origination of the CFP?
No, because I was not around for the first 2 years, so I don't know exactly what projects were done unless I go through all the old files.
So let's move forward. Is what are each of the board members thinking about? And we could either not do this or go and put a motion together.
I'm still good with the 6,000. I think it's better to be prepared. Those are the kind of things that really throw you off track, like when you're a new hire. You know, if it's a random thing that gets in, I feel more comfortable just being prepared for that. If we can afford it, and it seems like we can afford this amount this year, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, the one thing I would point out is that with respect to your reserve for replacement and your reserve for operations, what you did there is created a policy to first establish that reserve account and then make a decision how you're going to fund it. So if the board is inclined to create this account, then what your general manager and I would do is we would bring back a revised draft of your reserves policy that would have the predicate language of that Director Franklin mentioned about the four-fifths vote to move it out and all that stuff. So that would then create the account, and then the board there would be a second item on the agenda for the board to determine how much money to put in the account. So we would need to bring back the policy for that particular reserves for capital improvement.
So, Steve, can I have your opinion here? Is this just going to be just more bureaucracy and more stuff than just leaving it simple like Director Franklin was talking about?
Well, certainly it's more simple just to leave it, you know, in your general fund and to move it around. Some more flexibility, certainly, when you do it that way. But if you create the account and then, then attach the four-fifths vote with it, that also signals something that is money to be moved willy-nilly, that there will be, that a supermajority of the board has to agree
that particular use of the money is warranted. So there's, you know, pros and cons on here. And that's really where the policy of the board comes in and the direction that you want to go with those funds.
Leo, you know, if we were accurate in the sense of, are you and I getting fairly accurate as far as our estimates going in, and the current fiscal year that Lori, you know, pulled out to try to see what we were going to end up having to spend, if we're accurate on the contingency, we're looking at $78,000 that we could add a total for $1,800 negative. We could end up with $78,000 come June, the end of June, you know, starting the next fiscal year. I'd rather look at seeing where we are at the end of the fiscal year, which is June, and either moving it into a separate account, moving it into the savings account, knowing that we can use that for capital, and fund the reserves a little bit based on what we would have come the fiscal year. If we screwed up on all of that stuff and we had to use the full contingency, then yeah, we're in the negative. So I don't think that's true that we would be in there. But again, you know, if you guys want to set up a separate one, that's great. I'd love to make that too.
Chuck, the contingency, if we don't use it, is only approximately around $31,000. It's not $78,000.
Okay, I'm looking at the net other income of $38,000 and a contingency of $39,000. Right? If we don't use the contingency, add that to your net other income of $38,000. That's what I'm coming up with to you at $78,000, by the way.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we,
I like your idea, Chuck.
Why don't we wait until we get the fiscal overwork, and then we could bring this back and create this account? I think it's a great area for the future to, like, see what they're a little bit more restricted, that we know that that money's going to be used for capital improvements. That's what I am.
And I don't have a problem if we move in that direction with these, you know, brings the policy up to date on that.
Yeah. So why don't we just table this so in July? I guess we could table it.
I agree with that.
And then bring back. Okay.
So okay. Do you have anything else to say? You look like you're chomping at the bit.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I just want to make sure if you bring it back in July, do you want a policy language to be brought back as well, proposed language that you would then, the board if the board was so inclined, could adopt the policy and fund it at that time?
Yeah, probably, because it would depend on what the board wanted to do in terms of setting up a separate account, or should we move it into the savings account where we wouldn't need it. But come June, the end of June, July, we're going to have to take on the current policy.
Right.
We're going to need to fund those 2 years.
So what I could do is I could put together some draft language, bring it to the board in July with blanks for the numbers.
Yeah.
Or can look at the policy language and also look at what kind of how you want.
Yeah. I think that would be good.
That would be great.
Sounds great, Steve. Yeah.
Okay. We'll do it that way.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lori, for bringing that up. Now we're going to go into closed session. So we'll be signing everybody off. And then we'll bring back to open session. Future board meetings. June 1st, 2021. That's our next board meeting. And now director's comments.
Before you So we were going to discuss whether or not you wanted this to be an in-person meeting on June 1st.
That would be a great idea.
Are we opening up the community center for our normal meetings now?
The community center is open for rentals, so as far as I'm concerned, yes, it would be open for the meetings.
I would love to have an in-person meeting.
It means everybody's got to be masked, right?
In meetings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I'm hesitating. I don't really want to sit there for 2 hours masked. I'd rather be like this where we can all see each other's faces, et cetera.
If I keep drinking, we don't have to have a mask.
This is true, as long as you're eating or drinking. So you want to eat a cookie all 2 hours?
We're going to put up a potluck, apparently.
No, you can't have a potluck. You can only bring your own food.
Oh, you're right, darn it. All right.
Okay,
What do you guys think?
Next month. Okay, Sadie, you won't be here next month?
I won't be able to attend in person. We'll be out in Zion. So I can attend virtually if we do a virtual meeting, but I won't be physically in Redwood.
Okay.
There's another vote for virtual.
Is there a way we could do both?
Yes, you can do both. I've got a number of agencies that are doing hybrid. So as long as the governor's executive order is still in place, we can do it that way.
Does the board have a choice?
Or does it have a choice.
Okay.
Yes.
So we could do both. We could do the hybrid.
You know what? What some agencies are doing, they are allowing a limited number of public in up to the maximum. They're doing the calculations that the general manager did for the museum, determining what the maximum is for that building, and then allowing the number of public to attend up to that maximum. Other members, the remainder can attend remotely. Board members can attend remotely or be in person. Hybrids are allowable.
So what is the county's thing on masks? Are we still obligated if you've got your vaccine?
Inside, you absolutely are. Outside, people who are vaccinated do not need to wear masks unless they are in a crowd. But inside, nothing has changed. And that's what CJ told us last month, is that there's, even if the county returns to normal on June 15th or whatever the target date is, there's no current discussion about removing
So this isn't from the county. This is from Gavin at the state level?
Yes.
It is from the state level as well as the CDC, which is federal.
So I guess let's just go ahead and have the Zoom meeting on June 1st. We'll just do it remotely.
Okay. Yeah, and I think it's an excellent idea that the former manager brought up that question, because we do need to get the notice of public hearing out for the budget. So that needs to identify the manner in which the board will be conducting that meeting.
And that can be put into our regular board meeting agenda, yes?
That, as it has been now, yeah.
Okay. And why are we...
By the way, we need to keep Steve on Zoom so we're not paying the drive.
And what do we need, Lori, for the taxes for L.A. and San Bernardino?
I don't need anything from you guys. I just need to do the paperwork. And it's various paperwork I do want. I don't know how else to answer that question.
And what else needs to be done?
You adopted the resolutions last month.
Right. Yeah, as I say, as far as I don't need anything from the board, I just need to get the paperwork going and get the files over to them, but nothing from the board.
And having the office open until 1 that's starting next week is going to help that.
Yes.
Lori, another question. Are we all, the board members, are we all up to date on our ethics training? I just realized was April the date you needed to turn in the financial? I totally dropped the ball on that.
Let me double check. I stopped bugging people after April 1st. On everything.
Wait.
Because there's a lot of things getting co-mingled.
Yeah, we've got to be, this is director comments here.
Well, okay, so the two issues are being brought up. One is your Form 73 under your interest code. And those are audit, they should have been submitted to staff by April 1. That's frankly the law. And by not doing that, it could subject directors to penalties from the FPPC. And I have seen it happen.
And I believe I've got everybody's Form 700. Off the top of my head, I can't remember about the training, but I believe everybody's up to date.
On the ethics training, because the board does not receive compensation or reimbursement, you are not obligated under AB 1234 to do the ethics training.
Really?
Yes, because you do not receive any compensation.
Well, I think we should do it and get compensation.
Chuck and I have been doing it the whole darn time.
Well, okay, so where I was going with this, though, is that even though it's not a legal requirement, it is absolutely a good idea.
Yeah.
As well as the sexual harassment prevention training. If for no other reason, then it provides a defense for the district in the event that there was anything happened, that it shows that the district finds those kind of training seminars important and values that. So I certainly encourage it, both the sexual harassment prevention training and the ethics training, but because you have elected not to receive any compensation or reimbursement of any of your expenses, you're not obligated under 1234 to do ethics.
Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
So back to the original comment, Lori. Yes, we will have Zoom this June 1st, our next board meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Director's comments. Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for your work.
Okay.
I have a comment. So I was super ambitious and energetic in my campaign running for this position, and then surprise, the last couple months I've been very sick. I know you guys have reached out, but I'm actually expecting your baby.
Oh, congratulations!
Congratulations, baby.
Oh,
that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is that your first? Or do you have?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a baby boy. I expected in October.
Well, congratulations. That's right. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited.
That's great.
Chuck?
No comment.
No comment.
It's not mine.
I just want to...
Thank you for your advice.
You're my words.
I just want to tell you guys, this is a volunteer board, and I appreciate each one of you guys. Thank you for all the hard work. Chuck, the accounting this month was great. Lori, you followed through on everything the board has asked and would have asked, so thank you so much for your help and support. Sadie, thank you for all the logistics on Zoom and Facebook. I greatly appreciate it. And Michelle, you're the rock out there, so thank you for helping me. Okay, this is Steve, you're a great friend, and I appreciate our phone calls.
She's not paying for it all. Leo, thanks for your work, having things up.
We're getting this thing done. And yeah. Something to think about lastly is 4th of July. Look at that date. Do we have a meeting on that Tuesday on the 6th of July? Last week we didn't have a meeting. I'll leave that with you guys, and we'll talk about it June 1st.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
Well, Mountain Meter Days is scheduled for July 10th, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Leo.
Meeting adjourned?
Meeting adjourned once we get done, and then we'll finish with me.